Let's call a meeting to order, please. Salute to the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay. We'll open the floor up for public comments, please. John?
How come these speed indicators, they work now and then? I don't understand. Sometimes they work every day. Or
this will be addressed during the...
Yeah, we're going to address that later on, John.
So it is?
No, no. Guy will explain it to you.
Oh.
When it's his turn. Bill?
I just wondered how the suit against the bullet is progressing.
Dave is going to be
Dave
a little late.
Here, so he can ask that.
Yes. Anyone else? Okay. Moving on, approve the minutes of the previous meetings, October 2014.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Approval of the Treasury Report for October 2014.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Correspondence. I have a letter from Kurt Vincent. Dated November 10th. This is Dear Mayor Collins and Trustees, I would like to express my sincere thank you for the beautiful flowers sent by the board for my mother's memorial service. They were greatly appreciated. Additionally, I would like to request permission to decorate the Christmas tree at the Village Commons gazebo in her memory. She particularly enjoyed the traditional decorations of the holiday season and the symbolism of light at the darkest time of the year. I am offering to provide and install decorations once the tree has been placed in the gazebo and remove the same after the holidays prior to removal of the tree. Thank you very much. Kurt Benson. I think there was an agreement, Kurt, by the board that gave you permission to decorate the tree. And I'm not sure when the tree is going to be...
I'll keep my eye out.
Okay. Reports. Highway Department.
They worked on the leaf pickup. We got salt in for the winter. Rebuilt the catch basin at the end of John Street. Took the fountain out of the pond. They're patching with potholes or left are popping up. Using cold patch at this time. Graded the roadway between by Water Tower Way. Scrap metal roll off, they called and had that pulled out. Snow fence on the Bristol property was repaired. Put away the picnic tables for the season and helped on village cleanup day. Let's see. Is the roof on another area or should I do that now?
You can do it now.
All right. That's so, I talked to SNL today, and they're going to be here. The materials were delivered for the roof. They're here. They were delivered on Wednesday last week. They're finishing up some jobs this week. They're going to be here Monday, and they're going to stay on the job until the job is completed. So I didn't get a schedule yet, but I expect it'll be between a week and 2 weeks to do the job. So we should be all right.
Okay. Anything else?
Nope, that's it.
Okay, Randy, the Water Department.
Well, number two is back online with the variable dry pump and the VDF, and they had to do some turn-ons and turn-offs during the month. They're taking water classes for their licenses. And Jay ran wire and conduit for the new chlorinator pump that was installed on pump number two to save the village money. So they did a great job and were able to hook that up themselves. And let's see, on the average daily usage of water for the month was 81,000 gallons. and we had all of our tests are current. Coliform tests came back negative. There was two tests taken, so we're in pretty good shape. We got a couple minor things that still have to be done at the pump house. The chart recorder has to be repaired, but that's a minor undertaking than what we've been going through. So we're in pretty good shape.
Okay. Police department.
Officer Jones filed a written report. 49 incidents were investigated. We had 13 arrests, 95 traffic tickets issued, and the details are in the report. There are two DWI arrests. The Chevy Tahoe has about 86,000 miles on it, and the Crown Vic has 24,700. And speaking of vehicle conditions, the Tahoe underwent some repair work this month, brakes all around, and pinion bearing repairs. There is some issues with the back end of the vehicle, and down the line we're going to have to decide what to do with it. They quoted over $3,000 to repair it at this time, but after we talked to them, they said it doesn't have to be done right now. But I bring that up because at our coming budget meetings, we should probably look pretty closely at the repair history and sort of what it's costing us to keep this vehicle on the road. 86,000 miles for police vehicles is relatively high. They don't get driven like regular vehicles. So when we get to our budget meetings in January, I guess they are, we should look closely at that. Officer Yazzo received a bullet and stab proof vest from Vested Interest in Canines, a Massachusetts-based nonprofit organization. Yazzo and nine other canines from Saratoga County Sheriff's Department were recipients of vests. The fundraising event was held at the end of September, and apparently it raised more than $10,000 to buy these vests. If you want more information about this organization, you should look at the police department's blotter. They have a story about the event. But apparently this organization's raised over $1 million in the past couple of years to outfit canines around the country with these stab and bulletproof vests. On Thursday and Friday, October 30th and 31st, the department ran some extra patrols, including foot patrols, for the Halloween and Mischief Night. On Halloween, the department set up a field station at the corner of 20 and Elm Street, passed out candy to the trick-or-treaters. And from what I gather, there were no incidents of significance either night. The other thing that some of you may have seen, and this is more close to today, is later that weekend, there was a rash of vehicle larcenies or property out of vehicles being stolen on Elm Street and Lake Ave. About eight vehicles that we know of right now, and potentially more. We posted a notice around the village. There's an investigation, and they have some good information and leads on the person. And we're just encouraging people to stay vigilant. Unfortunately now, in the past, apparently people have really been able to leave their car doors open and their house doors open, but times have changed. And, as we we're in sort of a new era here, we need to think about, just watching over our stuff and keeping things locked up. Of course, the police do what they can while they're here, and we appreciate that. But just to let everyone know, this is the reality. I mean, there's no way to sugarcoat it. So, you just got to keep vigilant about that. I know there's some talk, and potentially this is something to explore down the road, about a community watch program. We are a small community, and we certainly have people that are here. Sometimes those are successful, and so we should spend some serious time thinking about doing that kind of approach as well.
Okay.
What term did the rear end of the car? Did they tell you?
Tom?
Was the pinion bearings? so it was making a grinding noise. And then they said there's another $600 part that it's a pin that holds everything in the gearbox together.
The carrier.
Yeah, but he said that you didn't need to do that right away, and the only effect would be like a clunking sound when you. That's what they said. It's not critical.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll wait on the attorney. Anything else from the trustees? Bob?
Nothing else.
Lori?
Just that guy mentioned the budget workshop meetings. I think we all decided on the dates of January. I can't remember them off the top of my head right now.
It was a Wednesday, right?
They were Wednesdays, both of them, I think.
No, I think they... I'll email them, but right. We're going to hold two, one in January.
One in February, right?
And one in February. And that's for the 2015-16 budget. But I would also like to go over the 2014-15 budget to see where we are at.
Okay. Randy?
I'd just like to thank all the veterans for their service. You know, Veterans Day was yesterday, but everybody in the audience, thank you for being in the service.
Guy?
Just a couple quick things. The website is, the new website's live. People have been using it. There's still a lot of work to do, and Missy and Judy and I had a training session a few weeks back with the subcontractor on how to maintain the site. Several people have been issued accounts so that they are able to maintain and edit content, add content. You know, this is a process. It's going to be an ongoing effort. I'm happy with the way it looks. We've gotten some compliments. And, again, we have a lot of work to do. I have a list of the stuff that needs to be done and would be happy to share the burden with anyone else who's interested. Lori has volunteered, and I'm trying to sit... arrange a time to sit down with Lori and Missy to go over sort of priorities and answer any questions about how the site should be maintained. We've already started to use it, so this public notice that we posted around the village on the vehicle larceny, these has also been posted to the website. We're using it already to help get word out about things more so than we have in the past. The other thing that comes with this website is new email addresses, official villageofnassau.org email addresses. Those are now also being used. I think we had a question about whether they're being used now. I sent information to all of you a couple weeks ago about how to do this, how to set it up for you so you can be on your phone or whatever. And if you have any trouble with that, let me know or let Tom know, and we can get you sorted out. I would suggest that we start to use these as our official to conduct village business. One, it makes it easier to sort of sort out from your personal or other work-related emails. Also, this email traffic is backed up on a regular basis, so we don't have to worry about losing emails, things like that. So we have some protection from catastrophic loss or someone smashes their phone or whatnot. They won't lose their email. So if anybody has any questions, again, just ask me or Tom and we can sort everybody out. I know that they're working because, checked with the people in the zoning board and people in the code enforcement officer. Has been getting emails through that. I know Missy uses it daily. I use it. So it's working out. I hope it's working out well. But, if we can start to all use that as our official village business addresses, that would be good.
Did you want to bring up? Are you all set?
Yeah, it's on the next part of this.
John's question?
Yeah, it's next. It's a couple things now.
It's under new business, number 9.
Under new business.
Number 9.
Oh, okay. I don't have anything right now, except I have an Aswama meeting on Monday up in Melrose. First one in quite a few months. Don't know what the agenda is right now. Other than that, I don't have anything else. The village cleanup day went pretty good. We had a lot of participation and we had a lot of junk. And Missy, They happen to pick up the recyclables?
Not
I mean,
yet.
I'm sorry, the electronics?
No, not yet.
Oh, all right.
I'll place another call.
Okay. The clerk.
Yeah, I actually have a couple things. The re-levy list has been submitted to the county for the taxes, but unpaid. And I wanted to remind everyone that the tree lighting is December 7th at 5 p.m. I'll provide cookies and hot cocoa. Dress warm. Fire will be all set. That's it.
Okay. I have a list from Kevin Hitchcock, the code enforcement person. You can, for the board members, you can read it at your leisure as far as his hours of operation during the month. The only thing that I had was a call by Paul Martel. It was in regards to the death of a chicken on Elm Street. So, other than that, there was nothing else that he had to report on. The Village Beautification Committee and Historic Preservation.
Nothing.
Okay. Youth Committee.
Last week, the Village and Town Youth Committee met to discuss winter activities. The town hopes to continue the basketball nights at CPS, but the school has no court time available during the winter. The town will try to organize events at the Mud Pond Trail. The village will hold our skating parties at the pond, weather permitting, of course. I've been coordinating with the fire department concerning activities for Sunday, December 7th. Santa will arrive at 3 p.m. The youth committee will be making holiday ornaments, have a cookie decorating table, and supply some refreshments for the party. Pat Tharr, committee member, has been in contact with the library. They have a group of kids they call the Volunteens, who might be interested in caroling at the tree lighting ceremony. She's been in contact with Kurt Vincent to coordinate the music. I've already prepared an article for the Advertiser and the Village Green newsletter, which incorporates all the day's activities. The Town Youth Committee will also use their Facebook site to advertise. On another note, Fred McKeag from the Town Youth Committee will be distributing boxes to collect toys to be donated to the Resource Center. The boxes will be placed at the Town and Village Halls, as well as the library. I think that's going to be, he's going to start around Thanksgiving time. On another note, since her retirement, the Youth Committee has been privileged to have Pat Piniezak volunteering her services with us. She's talented, enthusiastic, dependable, and works well with both the children and adults she encounters. So I request that the board appoint Pat to the committee.
Want to do that now?
Ken?
Okay.
I'll make a motion to appoint Pat Pennyhoff to the youth committee.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. In regards to the skating rink, there was a talk about the lighting. Some of the lighting was pretty bad, I guess. I mean, it lights, but is there anything going to be done this year, you think, or reposition the lamps?
There's one bulb that's out altogether.
What's this, the pond?
Yeah.
Oh, so I talked to Jay. I asked Jay to investigate. Obviously, we need new poles.
Okay.
They've been there for a long time. And I actually asked him to look into the LED lights that, you know, project out instead of down, because they kind of go in there. And I know Jay's working on that task right now.
Benches?
Benches. I think Guy and I were approached by Jeff Bransky. I think he was going to try to take that on as an Eagle Scout project.
Okay. Okay. Zoning Board of Appeals?
The Zoning Board of Appeals met with Cumberland Farms in a public hearing about the setback variance request for the sign, and we approved the variance. The Zoning Board also discussed having a regularly scheduled meeting for the following reasons. One, this will ensure there is a date and time available at the Village Hall. As I think many people know, you know, the village hall is well utilized, so it sometimes becomes a challenge to try to find a date and time that's available for both the applicant and the zoning board members. So having a set date, you know, the applicant would also be aware up front of when we meet. And then it's also been mentioned as a best practice at an open meetings law webinar that I recently attended. So of course, if we don't have any business, we can cancel the meeting, but this way we can have on our calendars a set date and time for the zoning board to meet and hold any public hearings as appropriate.
So do you have those dates?
We proposed the fourth Monday of the month.
So that would be incorporated in the new calendar?
Right, so it's the fourth Monday of each month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And we should probably also, when we do our annual postings of the
meetings
of the board meetings, we should probably put those in there too.
Okay.
The other thing, and Tom's not here, maybe we should also reach out to Tom Snow about setting up a similar thing for the planning board. Again, you can always cancel it, but this way, if something comes up, you know exactly when the next meeting is. So maybe Josh, you can. I mean, I could talk to him too, but
yeah, that's a good idea.
If you could mention that to him.
That's a good practice for the zoning board. It's a good practice for the planning board.
Yeah.
Since usually any activity on the zoning board is going to be preceded by a planning board. I don't know if there's still any remaining nights that are consistently open every month.
Mondays
are pretty good.
Mondays are the best.
Yeah. Mondays are good.
Fridays are open too.
Saturday morning.
Yeah, Saturday morning.
Okay, thank you. Planning board?
Nobody from the planning board.
Okay. Master plan update committee.
So master plan has been still meeting every 3 weeks for the last several months, and within the last month we have taken our list of topics that we had developed earlier in the year, and we've refined it a bit into what we're considering a preliminary list of subjects, or an outline, I guess, for our master plan document. And for the last meeting and for the next few, I guess, foreseeable future, what we've been doing and will continue to do is what is called a SWOT analysis, which stands for strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And it's really just kind of a chance for us to, you know, we've already been discussing a lot of these things for the last year, but it's really a chance for us to kind of categorize these discussions and give some shape to them surrounding those four topics, or those four concepts for every topic, and it's been very valuable. And we're about a quarter to a third of the way through now, and I anticipate this kind of being the foundation or the backbone of our document, and for laying the foundation down for any recommendations that we're going to make. So we're going to meet, we're going back to an every other week cycle for the foreseeable future to kind of get our way through this, you know, avoiding the holidays, obviously. And also pleased to say that we have three new members who I think we were going to appoint later, but maybe we're doing it right after this. Susan Keegan, and then Andrea Andelicato, and Morgan Moldoff, who is also our new planning board member. And that's just to help us kind of backfill some of the positions of the committee members we've lost over the last year. But actually, we've gained another member, I think. So that should be really helpful.
So do we want to do that? Does anybody have any questions about them?
What were the names again?
Susan Keegan. Andrea Andelicato. And Morgan Moldoff.
Thank you.
I'll make a motion to appoint those three people to the Master Plan Update Committee.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Next order of business is the old business. We discussed the village hall roof project. Next on the agenda is the Alter Alleyway and Mere Street resolution.
And Dave just went to go get the signature, and he'll be back. So
okay.
Put that on his list.
Then we'll get back to it. Update on the generator outlet at Route 20 and Route 203 intersection.
We're also going to need Dave for this, but we can go through the basic stuff. So September, we started talking about having an outlet installed at the Route 20 and 203 to powered so that a generator could power the light in the event of a traffic light, in the event of a power outage. The fire department has agreed to let us use one of their generators. It meets the requirements that DOT has for the light. The chief expressed a concern about whether the village would be able to take responsibility for the generator in the event that it got damaged or stolen or vandalized or something when we were using it. And our insurance policy does, in fact, cover that, so we're all set there. The next step is we have to get a permit through the highway department, the DOT, the same kind of permit we got for putting up the signposts. It's called a PERM 33 highway work permit. And I filled out all the relevant information for that. The last piece of this is providing information about insurance for work when it's done on state highways. This is the reason why Dave got involved. There's a form called a PERM 1. And what it does is it allows us, there's only one, yeah, there's actually several pages to this, but we only have the top page. It's an agreement that we enter into with the state that says every time we want to do something that we need a permit for, we'll insure the work that's done. Instead of having to go back to the insurance company every time and saying, can you issue us a rider or whatnot. We pay every year $204. Mm-hmm. $204 for the insurance. So we already have it. And so this would allow us not to have to fill out the form every time. And Dave was just concerned whether our insurance was going to be happy with that. We've had some emails back and forth, and they seem to be okay. I just wanted to make see if Dave had any other concerns. So when he gets back, I guess we can.
I didn't think he did.
I don't think he does. So basically, we'll have to at some point, maybe in the resolutions, just resolve to allow the mayor to sign this and actually see the whole thing. Yeah.
All right. Well, while we wait for Dave, we'll move on to new business. Water charges for on and off.
Yeah, under new business, I'd like the board's approval to change the water regs to not charge the residents of the village during business hours for turn on and turn off, the fee of $50. And the only time that residents or businesses would be charged is after hours. I've watched Tony and Jay turn a couple waters on and off in the last week, and it took them 3 minutes to turn one water off, and for a gentleman that goes to Florida every year and during business hours. I mean, they're already getting paid to be here from 7 to 3. I don't understand why we have to charge the residents during business hours that money. And I just like to have it changed. I mean, I can see it after hours, they got to be called in.
I just think it's in the right.
I looked in there.
Is that where it is?
We couldn't find it. It's in the green, it was a resolution.
It's in the green book.
Yeah, I looked. I couldn't find it.
The green book?
Yeah.
It's in the supply
case. No, I couldn't find it in the green book. I know we're charging people $50 during business hours, and I just think that it's... I mean, Tony and Jay getting paid from 7:30 or, you know... I just don't understand why we're charging people during the day. I don't know what anybody else's feelings are, but...
Well, why don't we take a look at the whole rules and regulations for the water system, and I'm sure there's other updates that need to happen to it.
Yeah. I mean, I've watched them turn off the one across from Jake's, the old the brick house, the fence. They got out of the truck, took the cap off, turned it off, and got back in the truck and left. I mean...
Well, why don't we? You said you couldn't find it.
I looked in the blue book and the green book, and I didn't see anywhere unless I wasn't seeing it. But I thought it was a resolution or something, or we changed something. But I don't know what everybody else feels, but I just think we don't need to charge. But.
Well, why don't we just get another set of eyes on it, see if somebody else can find it, and if not, then. Come the December meeting.
I mean, the last The last thing in the book, in the blue book and the green book, is that the water commissioner is in charge of enforcing these regulations if he deems it pertinent. So, I mean, I don't know. If somebody can find it, that's, I couldn't find it the other day when I came to look at it. But.
Mayor, wasn't there a schedule of fees? Seems to me there was.
Yeah, I couldn't find it.
There was a schedule of fees that we had.
Yeah, I
was missing on that. That was separate from the book.
I have to look closer. I don't know.
Okay.
I'll revisit it, but I'd like to put it back on December's. I'll see if we can find it, but I just don't think it's right. That's all.
Okay. On the Christmas tree purchase?
I actually put that on the agenda, but I didn't realize, because last year we got authorized $100. I guess it's donated this year.
This year, Bransky family's donated it.
Yeah. So I didn't want to wait till the last minute
to
authorize money for the purchase.
And just so you know, Randy, we do put money away in the celebrations for that. We got a donation, so thanks. Yeah.
Next, village IDs.
So I had that added to the agenda because last Friday I needed to go pick up a FedEx package from the Menan's office, and they weren't going to release it because I couldn't prove I worked for the village of Nassau. So I'm requesting to have ID.
I got an ID.
Well, I know everybody else did except me.
I know, because you probably were you in the hospital.
I was probably out, but I know. Well, yeah, you're new. So. Tom mentioned Linstar.
Yeah.
So, Missy, if you could set up some.
Oh, he's got his, so I'll see what
I got. What's that look? I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
You have one, too?
I got one.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. All right.
I don't know who made them up.
Heather had them made, and I don't know where, but maybe, Missy, we could get one for myself and Bob and Kevin. Guy, you need one?
Yeah.
The town, Missy, maybe check with them. Thank you.
I know the fire department's been talking about getting IDs forever.
Do you want to go back with Dave? That he's here now, Charlie?
Yeah.
To get back on the old business, Alter Alleyway and Mayor Street Resolution.
Yeah, I'm sorry for that little entrance, exit, then entrance again. Particularly with Alter Alley, it took us a while because there were about 10 different owners. And I came back on Monday, we got one, and that's what the phone call was. We had one of the couples. So I now have it's really sort of a two-stage thing, but we can accomplish it in one resolution, I think. I've got the offer to dedicate land as a public street in the village of Nassau with the legal description of Alter Alley, and it's signed by basically, I think, 9 out of the 10 owners or their representatives. So I think I'm comfortable with that, but I just took the 10 property owners that line the area that we want to plow, and those same individuals signed a quitclaim deed and the associated documents so that can be recorded. So I think what I would need is a resolution, if you want to go forward with it, which is, since we put all this effort into it, I hope you do, a resolution accepting the offer to designate land as a public street in the village of Nassau and resolving to accept the quitclaim deed describing that portion of Alter Alley in the description and making it a village street, basically making it a village street so that it can be plowed and maintained.
We're not doing this piece up here at all.
I think it goes all the way down to there. My understanding is it's not.
Right. It goes to this.
Yeah.
This barn here, garage.
Yeah. I think that's the description that I put in.
Okay.
Let me say this. It's an inexact. I said the map, the description is map known as Alter Alley is shown on a map. It references the map, and I think Alter Alley on the map only goes down to about there. Okay, so it doesn't go. In other words, it's called something else.
Now, did this? Everything I've seen shows it coming as the two entrances, even on this one.
Yeah, no, I know.
But I just want to make sure that it's clearly described that this piece is not part of it.
Yeah, I you know, we tried to be cheap and comprehensive. So let me just see if I have the Alder Alley piece here. Yeah, I think that's accurate because we have, Alder Alley, it's this piece right here. That's where we tried to get all the owners.
Right, and it comes up out here and then out here.
Best we could. I did the best I could. I mean, that's what shows on the map, so, I don't want to oversell it. As it's not a surveyor's description because it's just, there was just not time to, or the money to get that done. But we got as many as we could in the owners.
Okay,
I'll make a motion. We
go ahead.
Do that. Except Alder Alleyway.
I'll second. And that was all based on Dave's.
Are you doing one or two? What do you?
Just did Alder Alley right now.
Okay.
And that was the motion was is based on Dave's interpretation and finding of Alder Alleyway. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay.
Okay, and I have a second one. Which is the offer to dedicate land as a public street in the village of Nassau, and that is in the same format. It's an offer to dedicate a street with a legal description attached, which was survey-based, and then it's a quick claim deed from Robert and Margaret Van Dusen, the Margaret Van Dusen and Dale French Trust, from Robert Van Dusen, Mary Jo Van Dusen, and Margaret Van, and the Margaret and Van Dusen and Dale Van Dusen Trust, and Lisa Van Dusen. And it's basically the same. It's a legal description and a map of Muir Street. I think it's what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
Schedule A, public street. And that was to accept that. And the whole purpose of this, I think everybody's known, is that there were some issues that were raised as to, I think these have been plowed by the village at least, I guess everybody said for a long time, but we wanted to sort of regularize it and put in our records that we have, we can do it.
Anyone want to make a motion?
I'll make the motion to, as Dave said, accept that dedication of that street as defined in the documents.
I'll second the motion.
All in favor?
I have something to say.
Okay.
First, I think I came in on this late, and I understand the Alder Alley way part, as that was a street that was set up because we had houses in the back and it was part of a development. But I think the Muir Street piece is a paved piece of property that could lead to a lot of expense down the road. And, I just want it out there, I'm not in favor of it, and I just want it out there as to why I feel that way.
One of the things that I'm just sharing this with folks is that that village streets are of a certain width, okay? And I think that was in my memo. And in order, my understanding is that Lori's going to abstain because of a conflict of interest here. And I don't think that, in terms of the final count, that doesn't matter. What the village law says, and this goes back to the memo, which maybe everybody's forgotten because it was last December, if the street is less than 2 rods in width, that is less than 32 feet, the resolution has to be unanimous to accept the street. Okay, and I got to take a look at this, but I don't think it's that.
Not.
I don't think it's that width. In other words, most village paved streets are not that thick. But take a look and see what that.
The village takes over that road. We're responsible for the pavement and everything else and the upkeep.
Well, this came up. I don't know if you're. This came up at the last meeting because someone raised this issue. If we accept it as a street, we're not just. I mean, I understand. For both these streets, we were doing it to address a particular problem, which had to do with plowing. Okay, and then the question came up. Well, if we accept it as a street, is it a street? Are we doing everything on it? The answer is yes. But that doesn't mean if we accept it that we have any requirement that we keep it up at a certain level. In other words, theoretically, if the village wanted to, or any municipality, they could just pave one, you know, wonderful designated sits of streets every 5 years and let everything else go right to hell. But it's just so, you know, that's what it is. But let me get the, let me see if I got the description. Survey. I can tell you whether it's, let's see. It's not a square, it's on a curve, so I gotta see if it's, I gotta see what the width is, because I think I have a copy of the map. I'm sorry, excuse me. I thought I had a copy of that deed for that map or the survey right to hand, but I don't see it, and I'm not opening this file. I don't believe it's 32 feet wide. It's hard to tell from the description, because the description is like an arc.
I thought when I reviewed it, I thought it was like 20, it was around 20 feet wide.
Oh, it's a center point. Yeah, okay, wait a second. All right, yeah, all right. Um, 20 feet in width. It's a 20-foot strip. In other words, you're right. It's a line. What the surveyor did was draw the center line and say it's 10 feet on either side. So it's not a description like this. It's a description like this. So. But anyway, if that's going to be adopted or accepted as a street, you know, there has to be unanimity. I don't think there has to be. I think if Lori's disqualified, the remaining four can unanimously. I don't think it's, you know, boundless that, you know, one of them. If one of the board members is disqualified by reason of a conflict, I don't think that says, well, we can't ever do it. But it's got to be unanimous by everybody else.
Okay.
I have a question, Dave.
Yeah.
And this is from the owner's point of view. Do they realize that we don't have to keep it a paved road? Are they aware of the ramifications of that?
I don't know.
Well, I think so, because two meetings ago, I think it was Mr. File, had brought up the question of paving.
Maybe it was 2 weeks ago.
Right.
Two meetings ago, where Mr. File had brought up the, but everybody was here.
On that, yeah, but they understand that it wouldn't be, the people in Alter Alley know that it might never be paved, but do the people on the Mirror Street part realize that it may revert back to an unpaved, if this were to go through?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would say.
And they're willing to accept that.
I have one in the audience, I guess you can ask.
Yes, I understand.
Okay, we have a motion and a second on the floor for the resolution of Mirror Street, all based on Dave's dissertation.
It's quite that bad.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
Okay, the resolution hasn't been passed. So. Okay, moving on, the village, we did the village IDs, speed sign performance issues.
As was brought up earlier, on several occasions in the past 3 weeks, we've had the speed signs haven't worked for the entire day as they are intended to work. The first this happened was during a period in October. The exact dates here. It was in the middle of October, that period where I think it rained for like 7 straight days and it was overcast. And basically it was a period of low light. And this is affecting Albany Avenue sign more so than the other sign, but in any case it happens for both of them. So there's been a question about, you know, was the placement of the sign Was it well thought out, or was it thought out at all? Yes, in fact, it was thought out. As the board members know, I explained there were parameters that the state put on us, that the sign had to be a certain distance from the speed limit sign, so we only had a certain range of places to put it. And from a traffic calming point of view, these were the reasonable places to put the signs. Given that that's the case, this is upstate New York, and it's going to be, and especially this time of year, it's going to be low sunlight areas, or low sunlight periods. I've spoken to the manufacturer to understand what the alternatives are, given where we are right now. I asked them about, can we put another solar panel on here to capture more light? And they said, well, that probably isn't a good idea because in a low light situation, that's not going to really be helpful. It's going to be just as susceptible to low light. I said, okay. I said, can we get another battery? And they said, that's probably your best bet is to have a battery charged here, a spare battery essentially, so that during these periods of low sunlight, you could just swap out the battery and then bring that other battery that's not recharging by solar back to Village Hall to be plugged in and recharged. So that's the recommendation they had. Those are really the only two solutions. So the cost of that is each battery is $325, and the AC chargers are $35. And so I would suggest to the board, propose to the board that we purchase a spare battery for each of the signs, so that in the event, it's not like the weather's going to be different across the 0.7 miles of the village. So if it's affecting one, it's more than likely going to affect the other as well. And by the appropriate chargers, to have them always have a spare battery here. It's going to be the case probably from October till March, where we're going to have that kind of situation, or potentially have a situation of low sunlight. I know that the other solution that they talked about, or something we could do, and I know Tom has worked on this a little bit, is to optimize some of the configurations on it so that it doesn't always show. It only shows between a certain range of speeds. I think you have it set.
No, it won't show under 25 or over 55.
Right, so we might even like lower that 55 down to 45.
Well, I would go up. I would say I wouldn't show anything less than 30.
Okay, we can do it that way too. So that in any case, it will just, because again, every time it flashes, it uses up some battery power. So the fewer times it flashes, the more, the longer the battery.
I also think it's important to note that I think I sent you the statistics last month. There was 111,000 cars on the Albany Ave sign, and Church Street was only about 62,000.
Right.
So Church Street gets more sunlight but less traffic, and Albany Ave gets more traffic and less sunlight.
Right.
What did it take to change out a battery? Do you have to take it apart?
No, there's a key.
Yeah.
And then two like hooks that keep the back closed, and it swings open, and it's just a slot, and then it's just a plug. And it actually, the signs actually support two battery bays. It's populated with one battery, but there's also a pigtail from the charger to allow another battery to be in there.
Right, I wouldn't put two batteries in there, because if it's not charging one, it's
right.
Not going to charge two.
If you leave the battery, if the batteries charge up and put it in there, will it stay charged, or will eventually?
I mean, eventually it'll come down. Like at night when there's no sunlight. But if we charge one up at the village and we put it in there, it might offset the load of the other one, and then we can just kind of rotate them out as needed. I don't think we'd have to do it very often.
What's the recovery rate on the charging a battery?
I don't know what the AC adapter is.
Yeah, they didn't tell me that. But the other thing that I found, that, and I had known this before, but they reiterated it, is that about 4,000 cars per day, or vehicles per day, passing that is average. So we're sort of, and that's we're about where we are. We do about 120,000 per month. So it's about 4,000 on that sign, 4,000. So the Church Street sign gets a little less use.
Who does the calibration on it? Or is there?
They're not. I mean, they're calibrated from the factory. They're, we don't get them certified, but we're not, because we're not writing tickets off of them. But I download the statistics and forward them to Guy and give it to the board every month.
Now we do get certified though on the other, on the vehicles get certified.
Yeah, those graders are certified.
So could we, you know?
Well, I talked to the technician that certifies that, and he said that you wouldn't, because it's not for that purpose. Right. There's no tuning port for it. I mean, he said that he can use his device and do it, but didn't really see the point of doing so. That it is in fact accurate, but you wouldn't use it for legal purposes.
Right. So we would need two batteries and two chargers, one for each one, or just one.
$35
Yeah, I know that. But
you know.
The other one isn't a problem.
It did have a period over that same period. It had a couple of breaks in service.
Oh, all right.
I mean, if
is it a real concern?
Yeah, I mean, you guys, if you want to start with one, we could rotate one out if it's a problem.
Yeah, I mean, if we have to buy another one, we'll buy another one. So we can just buy one. That
okay.
That works. So do we want to do that?
Sure.
Easy.
Do you want to make a motion to purchase that?
Got a budget.
Do we need a motion? Do we need a motion? No.
Okay.
I'll get on that.
Okay. What's the lead time?
I could place the order tomorrow morning, and it's just they have the batteries, so okay. It's just a shipping issue.
That address, John's concerns.
I think it does. That address your concerns, right? I mean, that's the reason why it's not on all the time. John?
Huh? Well, I know it's not the reason. I just want to know if is it worth that kind of money? Because it slows the people down. But meanwhile, if they're at 20, a police officer's got to get out. That's a bad turn up there. Are we going to create a problem by changing that? You know, I don't know how often it's got to be changed. I mean, he's got to get out of his car. People coming around that turn.
Well, I would hope that you know, he would probably park further down by a little further down the street where you can safely get out of your car.
It's a bad turn there, really.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But he can park up even in the pine tree.
Yeah, we can. I mean, okay. When Jay and Tony put it up, I had the police car out. We parked. You know, I had the lights going in the back and combed out a little bit. I mean, it's off the road enough to get to where I don't think it'll be a problem.
Yeah, winter, snow, and slippery.
Well, I mean, you know, within reason, weather permitting, I suppose, you know, we'll do the best that we can. But like I said, that sign's not really an issue. That one holds a charge way better than the one on all the It gets less traffic and more sunlight. So.
Hmm. It gets more sun up there because there's no trees.
Yeah, more sun up there.
Sun comes over to school
right.
In the wintertime.
So we'll purchase one charger and one battery.
Okay.
I can do that.
All right. Next on the agenda is public comment. Anyone? Margaret.
Yes. Seems you have a personal vendetta against me, and I don't know what Mr. Galani's problem is, that he voted no on the Mere Street right away. I will bring a lawsuit against the village. You will lose, and it will cost the village money.
Well, there's no need to, Margaret, there's no need to threaten the village board.
I'm not threatening. I'm stating a fact. I have already talked to an attorney, and they said we had a good thing of winning this lawsuit.
Fine. Anyone else? Bill.
Dave, can you update us on the pending suit?
Yeah. The suit is scheduled to go to trial on December 6th, I believe. Okay. There's two people basically that I'm dealing with. One is the claims adjuster from the insurance company, and the other is the lawyer down in Ulster County in Kingston handling it. And I think they both know what they're doing. I don't want to get into a public discussion here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm cautiously optimistic that it's going to be handled in a way that does not expose us. I don't guarantee that, but I think what often has to happen is. The trial date is a deadline. It's a drop-dead date. And as we approach that, both sides, I think, will become somewhat more, I'm hopeful, flexible, okay? It's not just it's not just from Ed Ryan, but from the plaintiff's point of view, from the attorney's point of view, it's not just us in the village. This woman has a Medicaid lien that is probably already up to what she might get. Do you understand? In other words, even if she gets X number of dollars from the village or from the village's carrier, a major chunk of that money is going to go to pay off what's already been advanced to her from Medicaid. So that's, it's not just a two-party dance, it's really kind of a three-party dance where they have to resolve what's called a Medicaid lien. That's been made a little more difficult, I think, this year, because up until this year, you would deal with the in-house folks at Rensselaer County. I mean, Rensselaer County's paying. They're paying the county share. They're paying the Medicaid for this woman who is a resident of the county, I believe. But now all of that, all of the resolution of those liens, as I understand it, and other things have been farmed out, excuse me, to a company in Texas. So you don't really have that sort of legal or feel or sense to it. But and I don't want to get too much in detail because, you know what I'm saying, it's litigation. But I'll be emailing the board this week about the latest as I get it. Okay, but it's, believe me, it's front and center.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else? Kurt.
I know Lori was talking about the calendar, and she emailed me requests for dates and things. Is it the same as in the past with her SWAMA doing it? Because I know at one
yes.
time...
Yep. Matt contacted Missy, I believe, because he has a deadline.
Okay. I'd just like to remind you, and this is a little bit of a bugaboo, remember, they send that out third-class mail. Post office does not have to...
But I asked the post office about that, and they said that everything gets delivered. He said that's not so.
As a post office box holder, I have never received your SWAMA calendar. Never.
Well,
when I inquired, they said because it doesn't say P.O. Box 476, it says 51 Church Street. So
we'll use both addresses. Do we provide them with the address missing?
We do.
Then let's just make sure we include.
But it comes whatever's on the tax bill. I mean,
well, they get their tax bill at the post office, right?
That's first class.
Right, but he's saying it's first class. And the reason why he's not getting it is because it's third class. And I asked
you. But if you have both.
About that.
If there's both on there, it should work.
Right. So but I will just make
so
sure.
So far, it hasn't worked. And when I inquired at the post office, that's the explanation they gave me.
I got a meeting with Matt on Monday,
yeah,
and I'll bring that up.
Just a reminder to the public
okay.
that the calendars are coming out, and there's extras at the village hall. Don't give your mailman a Christmas gift.
Anyone else? Okay. Before we get to the resolutions, I don't. I'm not sure if Robin was supposed to be here. Okay. I have from the board, Village of Nassau, it's a resolution honoring Jerry Curtis Uhr for many years of his dedicated service. Whereas it is the sense of our unique society to recognize the contributions and achievements of members of the Village of Nassau community, this village board acknowledges with profound respect and admiration the service of one of its cherished members, and whereas Jerry Curtis Uhr lived in a life of dedication to his family, hard work, friendship, service, and dedication to the public good, and whereas attendant to such concern and in full accord with our long-standing traditions, it is the intent of the village board to convey its compliments and felicitations to Jerry Curtis Uhr for his many years of service to our community, and whereas Jerry served as a Village of Nassau trustee from 1987 to 2007 and has served as deputy mayor, assessor, street commissioner, and police commissioner, and whereas Jerry graciously volunteered his time and his knowledge of forestry and the development of our community parks, making the village a better place to live and raise a family, thereby impacting generations, and whereas Jerry was a devoted husband to his wife, Robin. Jerry and Robin are the loving parents of two children, Carolyn and Emily, and devoted grandparents to their grandchildren, Adam, Elizabeth, and Liam. And whereas, by virtue of the authority vested in the Village of Nassau Board of Trustees and the County of Rensselaer, State of New York, and further by unanimous consent of the Village Board of Trustees, do hereby proclaim Friday, April 24th, 2015, Jerry Earth Day in the Village of Nassau, and request our residents to plant a tree in honor of Jerry. A Crimson King maple, Acer plantanoids, will be planted in the Ben Stanley Park by the Village Beautification Committee in honor of Jerry in the spring of 2015. Now, therefore, be it hereby resolved that the Village of Nassau, on behalf of the entire community, extends its sincere gratitude, unanimous vote of gratitude and appreciation to Jerry Ure for his exceptional service and dedication to his community, and be it further resolved that the original of this resolution be formally presented to Robin Ure and a copy be attached as part of the minutes of the November 12, 2014 Village Board meeting. And it has been signed by the entire Village Board. So, Missy, when you can send forward this on to her? Okay. Next on the agenda is the resolutions, water bill adjustments, changing billing for Ronald Scrum from $190 to $160.
Yeah, that was an error on my part. I filled in the needs to be changed from $30.
Motion.
I'll second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Remove re-levy of $180 from October water bill. I'm sorry, from water billing for Timothy Case.
That was a re-levy that was paid, so we need to take that off.
Okay.
Make the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next, approve the Justice Court records.
Bring your package.
Make a motion. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Approve the 2014-15 election resolution.
Make the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
What are the bills? Number 170 through number 204 in the amount of $22,448.45 in the general fund and $8,596.48 in the water fund.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you for showing. Oh.
I make a motion. You have to talk back about the Perm 1 permit for Charlie to sign the DOT. Was there any issues you had for it?
Well, you know, what I wanted to do was just put them on notice. Hey, we're signing this.
Yeah, but we pay for it, so we're good.
Yeah, no, okay. But then she wrote back and said, well, you know, you need a legal opinion. Well,
okay.
You know, I guess my attitude is tag, you're it. We're telling you we're signing this, so I think we're covered. You know what I'm saying? In other words,
okay.
I wanted her to know that we're indemnified. I mean, that's why we have insurance. I understand that. But we got an email thing showing that we sent it to her, and she sent it back.
I'll make a motion to authorize the mayor to sign the Perm 1.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Motion to adjourn.
Adjourn.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.